get our sisters and brothers on the streets of Washington saying that we are everywhere, we are together, we're gay, we're proud, we're strong, and this year is the year.
We cannot have people come to this country on visas. We are kicked by police. We have no employment rights. You can be put in jail for holding hands with your lovers in practically half the states of the United States.
It's time we recognize that this is a national issue. It has got national support.
We know politicians talk out of both sides of their mouths. And we want to know what they're going to do this year, not next year with promises.
We're going to ensure them of their civil rights and of their human rights because we are going to save our children.
In 1969, outside the Stonewall Bar in New York City, for the first time in America, gay men and women demonstrated in the streets for their human rights. In the 10 years since the Stonewall riots, lesbians and gay men have fought to end the ignorance and discrimination surrounding homosexuality. But many Americans still oppose this effort, some with a Bible, others with violence. And this is what brings hundreds of thousands of gay men and women to the mall today in Washington, D.C. They've come from all across the nation, and many from abroad, to march from the Capitol building, march up Pennsylvania Avenue to the White House, and finally turning south to gather here by the Washington Monument. And many more gay men and women who cannot be with us in Washington today will be able to hear the voices of gay liberation in this national broadcast. And now, from the Washington Monument in our nation's capital, we bring you the rally at the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights.
And welcome to the rally. I'm Moira Rankin from the Sophie's Parlor Media Collective, broadcast here in Washington, D.C. on WPFW.
I'm Lucia Chappell from KPFK in Los Angeles, the Gay Radio Collective.
And I'm Greg Gordon from KPFK, the Gay Radio Collective. The official police estimate of the crowd in the march is 250,000, a quarter of a million. We've just heard from Eleanor Schmiel, the president of the National Organization for Women, and Ray Hill from Houston, Texas, is now talking. The crowd is still coming in from the march area. This is
Washington, D.C., between Constitution Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue is absolutely frozen. Traffic is totally tied up. Gay people here in Washington from across the nation are making their demands known in very real, concrete ways.
We are not yet certain who the next speaker will be, but let us take you now to the stage and Ray Hill, one of the national coordinators.
Yesterday, Robin Tyler produced and emceed the first largest national gay lesbian concert. 10,000 people here on the campus ground. She also, in April of 1978 in St. Paul, Minnesota, originally was the first person to call for a national march on Washington. Comet, activist, radical feminist, dyke. Robin Tyler.
Thank you very much. It's great to know that we have outdrawn the Pope. Is to art. Only people who hate Anita Bryant more than gay people are music lovers. I was walking down the street and somebody came over to me and said, I know what you are. By the way, I am not gay. I am a lesbian, but I'm festive. Somebody came over to me and said, I know what you are. You're one of them homosexuals. I think they should take all of your homosexuals and put them on an island someplace. And I said, they did, darling, and they call it Manhattan. And you know what they're going to say about you? I'll tell you what they're going to say. They're going to say that you're out here flaunting. What a heterosexual. I don't like to call them straight because if they're straight, then we're crooked, but if we're gay, then morose. it's called sharing. But when we show them the picture of our lovers, it's called flaunting. When we feel it's time that we shared. I want those television cameras out there to turn around and focus on one of the largest demonstrations in the history of this country. Look at that crowd. Focus on that crowd. We only want to show them that we're as good as they are. I'm going to tell you something. You're not as good. To have survived the oppression that you've survived for centuries, you're better. In San Francisco, when they sentenced Dan White to 7 years, our brothers and our sisters got on the streets to express their grief and their outrage, and they burned a couple of police cars, and they dared to call us violence. Well, they don't have to tell us about violence, because they have violated us since the beginning of time. They burned millions of us as witches and homosexuals. They killed a million of us during the Holocaust in Germany. They have violated us in prisons. They have violated us in mental institutions. And by behavior modification, they have alienated us from our parents and taken away our children. And they have told us one of the worst violations of all, that closets stand for privacy and not for prison. So don't tell us about violence. They've got to understand something. They've got to understand something. We are not talking about crotch politics. This is not a movement from the waist down. We are talking about our right to love and to choose and to live. And I don't care about straight tolerance. And I don't care about straight understanding. You better hear me in Washington. We are demanding our civil rights. Less than 6 million Jewish people in the United States. There are 19 million Hispanics. There are 25 million blacks. But we are between 10 and 12% of the population. We are the largest minority of people in the United States. And 10 to 12% of the children that are going to grow up, they are going to be lesbian or gay, and we do not want them to be called faggot or dyke or queer, because we are going to save our children. We are doctors, and we are everywhere. We are lawyers, and we are everywhere. We are third world, and we are everywhere. We are Jewish, and we are everywhere. We are men and women and children and parents, and we are everywhere. We are everywhere. We are everywhere, and they are not going to oppress us any longer. I want you to say it with me. I want them to hear your voices, because this is being broadcast across the entire United States. I want them to hear you say, we are everywhere. We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
Thank you!
We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
We are everywhere!
Lesbian feminist comic Robin Tyler leading the crowd in the chant, We Are Everywhere. And we are live broadcasting to such cities as Boston, Massachusetts, New York City, Buffalo, New York, Storrs, Connecticut, San Francisco, California, and many more stations.
We are everywhere!
The next people to speak will be from parents and friends of gays. There will be Robert Ashworth, and Adele Starr.
It is my pleasure to introduce now a man who has given and dedicated his life to gay and lesbian rights, who is a feminist, who is my brother, and the greatest thing I can say about this gentleman is if I were standing in a war in a trench, holding a gun on my enemy, and I needed someone beside me that I trusted would never leave my side and would fight it to the death for me, nobody would fight harder or try harder than Troy Perry.
We've come a long way from Dade County, Florida. When we started the fight in Dade County, Florida with Anita Bryant, Anita Bryant announced that she had been talking to God. And God had told her the reason that in California we had such bad weather and droughts was because so many gay males and lesbians lived out there. But I'm here to tell Anita Bryant today, the day she came out against us, it snowed in Miami. I think that's it. About where God's at in this whole thing. I come from an organization where in the last 5 years, 12 of our churches have been arson and burned down to the ground. In one case, our minister and 10 of our church members were burned to death because of oppression, because of arson. When I hear people like Anita Bryant and Jerry Farwell from Lynchburg, Virginia, I think that town is aptly named, it really bothers me. People who claim the name of God, shame on you, you hypocrites. Let me tell you now, you don't know God. You couldn't possibly know God. I'm telling you today as gay men and gay women, as we gather here on the Mall, we can have our victory. We can have our power. We have it already. We don't owe apologies to anyone in America. Not anymore. We're here to let Americans know we're your sons, your daughters. We're not going away. We're here, and we're going to have our civil rights no matter what. It's for us. Americans just don't know what to do with us. In San Francisco, California, we had gay rights, demonstrations, riots for the first time. Big riots in American history. They didn't know what to do when they saw demonstrators throwing Molotov cocktails and running away in their Gucci shoes. They're just not used to that in this country. I'm telling you, they may talk about liberals in America, but these are the strongest wrists in the world. And we'll have our freedom. We'll have our fight if we continue with our struggle. Thank you.
And that was Richard Ashworth, who was...
That was the Reverend Elder Troy Perry of the Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches.
From Houston, Texas, and Texas here.
You might be interested to know that these proceedings are being simultaneously broadcast over the Pacifica Network stations and the National Public Radio stations. That is... This is the first national live broadcast on radio in history. We ought to do that more often. Our next speaker from San Francisco is Sky Rose, who is with the Gay Youth Community Organizations in the Bay Area, speaking for the Gay Youth of America, Sky Rose.
Is she listening to PFW?
Yeah,
PFW is
on the air.
It's true that gay people are everywhere. But did anyone notice how small the gay youth contingent was? Did anyone think about it? Is anyone aware of how few gay young people there are here and how many there are in the United States and everywhere? It's also true that there was a very small parents group out there supporting gay young people. And one of the demands of this march is to protect young lesbian and gay males from any laws which discriminate against, oppress, and harass young gay people in their homes, schools, environment, etc. Well, that's a pretty radical demand, because what it would actually mean is eliminating and changing laws that oppress all young people, not just gay young people. It means eliminating status offenses, which are laws which prohibit young people from having or expressing a sexuality, from being able to choose our own friends, from being able to read what literature we... Well, that's not a status offense. But that's something that oppresses young people. Status offenses are laws which prohibit young people from doing anything that adults are allowed to do. It disallows young gay people from going into bars, etc. And I'm sorry, I'm suffering from speaking. I've not had that much speaking experience. I'm really talking just from my own experience. I've been a lesbian since I was 9 years old. I mean, out. At least. And there are lesbians and gay young people of all ages. And that's something that gay adults don't take into consideration a lot. Thank you. At any rate, to go back to the demands of this march, ending the oppression of young gay people would mean ending the oppression of all young people. It means that young people should be able to choose our own home. It means that we should be able to direct our own education. It means that we should be able to get to work from whatever age we feel ready to and support ourselves. It means that we should be able to express our sexuality. It means we should be able to be straight or gay or bisexual and express our sexuality. It means that we have a right to information about gay lifestyles in the curriculum in our schools and literature in our libraries. It means that we have to have a right and need to organize ourselves in schools. Young gay people might need to organize and get together in schools in spite of all the violence against us. Young gay people need to organize, and young and older gays need to start integrating us into their community. Okay. Thank you. I hope you take seriously what I've said, as scattered as it's been.
That was Sky Rose from San Francisco speaking for gay youth.
Of the largest lesbian and gay assembly in history.
Coming up next, we believe, will be Richard Ashworth and Adele Starr from Parents and Friends of Gays. We obviously do not have the list of speakers and entertainers in the order that they are coming on the stage. Ray Hill from Houston is speaking at this moment.
In the fundraising table, that sounds important. Those of you out there who are not standing behind banners, you need to remember this.
If you are too tall for the person behind you to see, make room, spread out. We've got more area over here. The sound system is good. There's an area back to those trees that we can use. If you're holding Barry banners and you're getting tired, why don't you let folks see? Steve, a blind man from Arizona, was separated from his state contingent. He is behind the stage. Will someone from his state contingent come and be with Steve? Let us not leave this man alone. All right? How many people feel good today? I wish they'd take the roof off of this thing because you've got the sunshine and we all need it. Our next speakers represent the Organization of Parents and Friends and Parents of Gays by various names across the country. But speaking will be Adele Starr from Los Angeles Parents and Friends of Gays and Dick Ashworth of New York City Parents of Lesbians and Gay Men. Here they are.
Friends of gays, thank our lesbian daughters and gay sons. What? Okay, is this better? I'll start again. Okay. I'm too little. Okay. We parents and friends of gays, we thank our lesbian daughters and gay sons for inviting us here today. We're honored. In this International Year of the Child, we march with our children, we support our children, and we are proud of our gay daughters and sons. All across the United States, there are parents of gays groups. We have a common purpose: to speak out against the oppression and the discrimination that hurt our gay children. We parents say the time is now to assure and guarantee equal rights for all our children and for all gay children everywhere. Parents of gay groups are busy in the communities. You know that we come from every ethnic group, cultural and economic level, and occupation. We are working in our communities now, opening dialogues that stop at the source, the myths that damage our children and inhibit them from attaining their full human potential. In the United States, one out of every four families has a gay person, a gay family member, and that affects all of us. We know that. We parents work with each other so that families can live honest and open lives, free from guilt. We help one another and our family members to listen, to learn, to understand, and to be free from fear. Together, we and our children challenge the attitudes that destroy, the attitudes that have caused violence, bloodshed, suicide, and even murder. And we say no more! We are silent no longer. We are visible. And believe me, the Senate, the Congress, President Carter, and everybody else is going to hear us. We know better than anyone else that our children are healthy, normal, responsible, and caring human beings. And we will see to it that our lesbian daughters and gay sons remain unmarked and unnamed. You know, no one has a monopoly on religion. We're all God's children. And we love all of our children. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
millions of lesbians and gay men today call upon the silent millions of parents of lesbians and gays to come out of the closet and join us in supporting our children. We can only reach your parents through you. The problem is silence, a silence which has helped the bigots in the persecution of our children. And the answer is speaking out. It's time for parents and friends of gays and lesbians to speak out, to tell the world there's nothing wrong with being homosexual. And it's time for the world to realize that we parents of gays love and are proud of and will support our gay children. We parents want to persuade society that our gay children are not acting out of defiance or self-indulgence. They're being true to their own nature. We want to persuade society that it's not a fling or a phase, that homosexuality is something established at least in infancy, possibly even before birth. You weren't made the way you are by your upbringing. You didn't catch it from associating with other gays. It isn't a disease to be cured. We parents must and want to persuade society that the old stereotypes of homosexuals are false. Our children are fine men and women. And we say to society that the parents and friends of lesbians and gay men will support their children. Thank you.
That was Richard Ashworth of Lesbian Parents of Lesbians and Gay Men in New York. And now we're going to leave the platform for just a moment to go to our mobile unit with Amy Sands and David Winyard.
Well, we're out here in a huge crowd, and we found the Alaska contingent. Can you tell us what it's like in Alaska and how you got here, how long it took?
Well, it's like any place I've lived so far. As far as the gay community goes, there are a lot of different factions of it that never seem to be organized enough. But getting organized for the march was really good. We got a lot of people working together very positively, a lot of energy that was excellent. And most of us that came, there are about 35 of us here from Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks, and Kodiak that I know of that have flown down. We all saved money ourselves and had benefits to bring us all here.
You pretty isolated out there?
In a way, but you know, no more isolated in our sexuality than we are in anything else.
How did you all get down here for this march?
We flew.
What do you think about this?
Oh, I think this is incredible. This is perfect. It's ideal.
What about that? Did you listen to that Parents of Gays speech?
I caught bits of it when I wasn't spacing out looking at the crowd.
Do you know if your parents are listening and what you'd like them to hear or think about?
I doubt if my mom's listening, but I wish she were. I wish it would matter. You know, I wish it would change the way she feels. I know that she loves me and wants to have it make no difference, and yet I know it does make a difference to her.
Is this a coming out for you?
Well, on media it is, but other than that, I wouldn't go so far as to call it a coming out. I preferred my own.
Okay, and now back to the Pacifica tent with Moira, Greg, and Lucia.
Again, we are broadcasting live across the country. Some of the other cities: Eugene, Oregon; Madison, Wisconsin; Minneapolis, Minnesota; Houston, Texas, and the list goes on. We are at the foot of the reflecting pool between the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument, and the crowd is at least up to, if not beyond, the Washington Monument. Coming up next, I believe, is the group celebration. But first, we will pause 10 seconds to have our local stations identify themselves. This is the station program.
And you're coming right back here to us.
here right in front of the stage, about 50 feet away, in the midst of 250,000 people. We're going to go on to the stage very shortly, where a group called Celebration, which is a gay musical collective, is going to be performing. Right now,
we can tell there's a great amount of confusion around us. We can see very little of what's going on the platform, and there doesn't seem to be an organized speakers list that we can work with, so we're playing it a lot by ear, as it were.
I think that one of the things that people ought to know is some of the groups that have endorsed this march. There are at least 200 to 250 groups across the country that have endorsed it. They come from a wide spectrum. They include the Actors Equity Association, the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Local, the American Federation of Teachers, the Americans for Democratic Action, the Buckeye Rainbow Society for the Deaf out in Cleveland, the California Human Rights Association, the Chicago Counseling and Psychotherapy Center, the Detroit Coalition of Black Gays, Dignity, the Greater Gotham Business Council up there in the Big Apple, New York City, the Lutherans Concerned for Gay People in Houston, and the Lutherans out there in New England, the Metropolitan Community Church, the Portland Town Council out in Oregon, the Presbyterians for Gay Concerns. Up in New York, the Westchester Women's Coffee House. Out in Ann Arbor, the Woman's Space. Out there in Michigan. This is only a short list of some of the wide variety of groups that have been sponsoring and endorsing this march today.
All these groups have taken part in this demonstration, which focuses on five specific demands: repeal all anti-lesbian and gay laws, pass a comprehensive lesbian gay rights bill in Congress, issue a presidential executive order banning discrimination based on sexual orientation in the federal government, end discrimination in lesbian mother and gay father child custody cases, and the fifth demand is to protect lesbian and gay youth from laws which are used to discriminate against them.
I believe Celebration is getting set up. Again, as Lucia pointed out, we can't see the stage too clearly. They are ready to go. Let's go back up to the platform and to the rally, the National March on Washington.
How many of you left somebody back home to look at this on the television or hear this on the radio? That must mean that we are in larger numbers than even suspected. The next speaker, from the Gay Asians, Lesbian and Gay Asians, is Michiko Cornell.
Sisters and brothers, I am here to represent the Lesbian and Gay Asian Collective, which was formed at the first National Third World Lesbian and Gay Conference this weekend. I don't know if any non-Asian American lesbian and gay man know how important this moment is. This is the first time in the history of the American Hemisphere that the Asian American lesbians and gay men have joined to form a network of support of, by, and for Asian Americans, lesbian and gay men. I must interject a little comment here. I am being careful to use the phrase Asian American because we are not hyphenated Americans, nor are we always foreign-born women and men from Asia. We have been in this country for over 150 years. We live in Asian America. It's a statement of our experiences and a statement of racism in America. I am awed at this moment and what it can mean for Asian American lesbians and gay men. America has called us the model minority and has claimed that we are 200% Americans. The truth is that because we are less than one half of 1% of the population of this country, and because of the lies that the American media perpetrates against us, we have difficulty in impacting even third world lesbians and gay men. We are called the model minority, the quiet, passive, exotic erotics with the slanted cunt to match our slanted eyes, or the small dick to match our small size. but we are not. For years, Asian Americans have organized against our oppression. We have protested and were lynched, deported, and put into concentration camps during World War II. We must not forget that the United States of America has bombed, napalmed, and colonized Asian countries for decades. Thus, it was impossible for America to bomb Hiroshima and Nagasaki and to continue to economically colonize and rape Asian countries. It could rape and murder Vietnamese women, children, and men, then claim that Asians don't value human life. I am an Asian American woman, a mother, and a lesbian. Because these things are difficult to put into a neat package, because I am genuinely different, I know that I live in the face of this country's determination to destroy me, to negate me, to render me invisible. And the reality is that non-Asian Americans are ignorant of our existence. We share the same problems that the third world lesbian and gay men share. Because of fear of deportation, because of Asian American dependence on our families and Asian American communities for support, it's very difficult for us to be out of the closet. But we need to come out of the closet, for not to do so would be living a lie. And the great lie, which is American, can use that weakness not only to destroy Asian American lesbians and gay men, but also our third world lesbians and gay sisters and brothers. We have a right to our sexuality, to our love, and to our racial identities. This is something that sets us apart from and challenges white lesbians and gay men. We demand that you white lesbians and gay men begin to think of how you repress and oppress your Asian American lesbian and gay sisters and brothers. You share oppression from our homophobia with us, but unless you begin to address your white skin privilege and actively support Asian American lesbians and gay men, you will not have our support, and you would lose out on a chance to build the kind of world we need to live decently and lead full productive lives. You must realize the capitalist system uses not just sexual preference, but race and class as well to divide us. To our third world sisters and brothers, gay and straight, we would like to say we all share the same oppression as third world people and fear that the reason we must stand together or be hanged separately by what Audre Lorde calls, quote, the noose of conformity, unquote. To our closeted Asian American lesbians and gay men, I would like you to consider how we become accomplices to our own sexual and racial oppression when we fail to claim our true identities. I have a 3-year-old daughter, and any risk I must take to build a free future for myself and my daughter is worth it. It is concrete and as abstract as that. Thank you.
That was Michelle Cornell.
Do you support?
Speaking for the third.